And welcome back to my house, Rosie on the House. We're here visiting with Dr. Sky. We've covered a lot of the universe, the known universe so far in this morning's broadcast. And I was telling y'all and teasing y'all that we've got another total eclipse. You don't have to wait till, you don't have to wait light years. You don't have to wait till 2024. Right. We've got one coming up in like 72 hours, right? Just a couple days.
Rosie, this Wednesday. Okay. Sky watchers with clear skies and hoping they will. Some weather reports indicate it could be a little cloudy, but don't give up.
Oh, man, that'd be a bummer.
Be positive, right?
Okay.
You're looking on Wednesday morning, the 31st. Now, this is an early morning eclipse. So for the whole nation, because many people are traveling and they'll appreciate this info, East Coast and Midwest does not really get to see much of this. So for the Midwest, I'd say beyond Kansas to the west and all the way to Hawaii, we here in Arizona, the partial eclipse begins at 4:48 a.m. Mark that down on your calendar. Okay. So if you're outside just a few minutes before 5 a.m. on the 31st, you will see the left edge of the moon start to go into this strange and eerie glow.
Can watch with the naked eye.
Say totally safe. Yep. Now, this is one. Now, obviously, that's a very good point because so many people are thinking, hey, what about those lunar glasses?
Yeah.
There are no such things.
Okay.
Solar glasses, that's another subject for
another subject.
So totality begins at 5:51 a.m. if you're a precise person. So just before 6, if you're driving to work, let's say, and hopefully you have a way to get your car off the road, and maybe you with your high-end cell phone or whatever you have, you want to get some pictures of this because here's why this is amazing. This view is not when the moon is high in the sky. It's going to be silhouetted against the background, hopefully mountains, hopefully not trees and buildings. So you'll be able to see this. So the totality continues at 6:30 a.m. is the mid-eclipse. That's the mid part of totality. That's the best time. Now notice, the moon will be hanging low in the west. It's going to be getting very close to the horizon, and the totality ends at 7:08 a.m. So what's the totality? It's when the moon moves literally into the deep, dark shadow of the Earth. So you're going to see the whole moon start with the left, start the little dent in there at 4:48. 5:51 a.m. is exactly when totality begins. That's the so-called max. But the middle of the totality is 6:30 in the morning. So what we're going to see, and this is unusual, we're going to be able to witness a totally eclipsed moon set behind the mountains. And if you're here in this side of the valley, in the east, you'll be looking at the white tanks in that direction,
right,
and the moon will be totally eclipsed setting. What a beautiful picture that will be.
Now, I'm wrestling with this in my head.
Okay.
So the size of Earth's shadow is perfectly the size of the diameter of the moon?
No, it's larger than that. Because remember, the Earth has a diameter 7,927 miles wide. The moon is only 2,159 miles wide. So in simpler terms, the shadow that's cast by the Earth, the moon moves into that shadow about 4 or 5 moon diameters, filling up that central shadow.
Okay.
So the moon is actually gliding, and if you get really precise, because we have a lot of smart people listening, they will notice that this track of this eclipse is not literally through the center of the Earth's shadow. It's going to go a little bit below the center. The deepest and darkest eclipse you would ever get of the moon is if that object, the moon, sailed right through the center, like if you had a shooting target. This is going a little bit lower, but still in the shadow. So the shadow simply, for everybody listening, is much, much larger than the diameter of the moon. So it stays in there for about 70 minutes.
And this is like morning wake-up time.
Oh, yes.
Wednesday morning,
the 31st.
Get your cup of coffee and get outside.
Yes. And there's another thing, Rosie, that we should mention. This is called, and I had a hard time saying it, and it's really tough to do it in one quick burst of words. It's known as the blue supermoon, blood moon eclipse.
It's three moons.
Three strange events happening at once.
Supermoon?
Supermoon is a moon that is exceptionally close to what they call the moon's perigee, meaning the time of the month that the moon is literally the closest to the Earth. This coincides with just within hours of that thing called perigee. Then a blue moon. Now here's the one that gets people in trouble like myself. Some believe, and the Farmer's Almanac came out with the original description, or the definition. A blue moon through the Farmer's Almanac was the second full moon in a calendar month.
Yes.
Some astronomers rebutted that and said, no, it's the third full moon in a complete season. So I like to go with the old school.
Oh,
so I'm saying it's a blue moon. Why?
Okay.
Because it's the second full moon of the month. We had the one on New Year's Day.
Yes.
We'll leave that to the experts to decide or whatever people think. But now it's super because it's closest. And they only have two of those during 2018. This is the second closest of all.
Okay.
And then a blood moon, which really isn't a true science term. It's just kind of cool.
It's a cool media term.
It's a cool media term. But it goes into the thing of looking like it's blood red. And the reason, this is a good science thing here from Dr. Sky. Why does the moon, Dr. Sky, get totally red when it's immersed in the shadow of the Earth? If you were standing on the lunar surface, you would see around the Earth's edges, the atmospheric light is being refracted or bent around the edges so that that long wavelength is all that's visible. It filters out the blue. So the reason it gets into red is because literally, if you looked at the Earth from the moon, you would see the Earth with this annulus of glowing red around it. So that light sneaks around the other side of the Earth and hits the moon. That's amazing.
Full, super, super blue blood moon.
Right. Eclipse.
Total eclipse.
Right.
Wednesday morning at basically 7 o'clock in the morning.
Basically. But here's what I like to tell people. Don't miss. Obviously, if you're a big fan of this, you're going to probably have an eclipse party and you'll be up all night like a lot of my friends. But for me, for everybody else, Rosie, of course, we'll be watching it. And I think we're doing some television around the valley. So stay tuned for that. But more important than that, this is an event. We do not have another one of these for another year or year, a year and a half here in Arizona. We have another total lunar eclipse that's visible on the other side of the Earth, and we'll not even see it at all as it occurs into the month of, let's say, July. But, Rosie, this is the big showstopper of the year. I saved this for last. This is the year of the planet Mars. Mars in July.
2018.
Okay. Will come closer to the Earth than it has since 2003, when it came historically closer to the Earth than the last 57,000 years. It's still a good one. So just know this.
Woo!
Mars, as a planet, will be the thing to look at in the sky. And in the telescopes, even moderate telescopes, I can assure listeners, we get to see the polar caps. You get to see the largest volcano in the solar system, Nix Olympica, through the bigger telescopes. You can watch dust storms coming across the Mars surface in a telescope. And there's, believe it or not, when Percival Lowell named these features on Mars, I looked very closely. They're all Greek mythology, but there is a Tempe on the surface of Mars. Isn't that interesting? A lot of people don't know that.
No, I didn't know
There's
that.
A region on Mars called Tempe. So if they have astronauts someday, the young children today, who up in Tempe, maybe they'll visit Tempe on Mars. But Mars comes closest in 2018.
Well, and what is it? SpaceX that's talking about equipping the ships now? But they had a misfire recently.
They had a lot of misfires. And here's a quick summary. What we saw here on December 22nd, as soon as I saw that, I called KTAR because of the Dr. Sky show and said, hey, you know, it's a SpaceX rocket. It's not a UFO. And obviously anything they don't know is a UFO.
Right.
But here's what happened. They launched the first of a series of iridium satellites into space. So many people here in the valley saw it. It looked like a giant jellyfish. But here's the odd thing about that.
It was very peculiar.
I've watched so many space launches, Rosie, and a lot of people have. This one arced up high, and the strange part about it was the component, it was going horizontal. What the heck is that all about? Weird.
Is this a rhetorical question, or are you going to tell me?
I don't know. I have no idea. What I'm saying is,
I was hoping you could tell me.
I don't want to put, I love SpaceX, but now we go back to the recent launch of a military spy satellite, Zuma, early January. The telemetry on this, somebody said that the object is lost. That's a $1 billion spacecraft, and it's not the fault of SpaceX, probably. I don't want to blame anybody. SpaceX is great. Aren't they doing amazing things? But that is a $1 billion spacecraft that supposedly is not in orbit. We don't know. They had a very secret briefing with the government in a Senate Select Committee or some House committee. But the big news, let's be positive, SpaceX is really
wrong. And so we lost it.
We might have lost it. I have to be
Zuma,
careful.
We lost Zuma.
Somehow Zuma's lost. Not Zima. Remember Zima? That was a good drink.
Ooh.
Where's that? But here, Rosie, the final one is this. Actually, nobody likes Zima. Just kidding. The big news is SpaceX is ready to launch their the Falcon 9 Heavy.
Well, wait. Before you leave, okay. Zuma. So it's $1 billion. Is it worth it to send a little spaceship up there looking for it?
I don't know. I would think I have to be careful how I answer that. Right now, I don't know, Rosie, because I think there's a lot of angry people who are part of the government that they don't have $1 billion spacecraft. Remember, these are satellites that are part of the National Reconnaissance Office, the NRO, the NSA. We watch them all the time. I watch Lacrosse Fives here. That's another story we can talk about off air. But you can see these spacecraft at night. I don't know where Zuma is, but the story on the Falcon Heavy.
Okay.
That's supposed to be launched probably. I don't know if the engine test went successfully. There are 27 Merlin engines. There are three Falcon 9s basically strapped together. They're 250 feet tall. This is on the same.
Sounds exciting.
It's amazing. On the same launch pad that the Apollo 11 left the Earth from.
Okay.
This is amazing. Think about what Elon Musk is doing. And in the test flight, he's going to put the little red Tesla Roadster as the payload, and he's going to send it out into orbit. That's a waste of a good car. I would love to have that car. But the serious part of this is this heavy rocket is what we need to launch heavy particulates into space. 140,000 pounds of material can be launched. The object has this most incredible 5 million pounds of thrust. No rocket since the Apollo Saturn V, which had 7.5 million pounds of thrust, has been able to beat this. I wish Elon Musk great success. But you know what he said in closing? There is, and I quote, a probability that the whole rocket could explode on the launch pad. Isn't that amazing?
That would be a pretty big explosion.
That's a massive
lot of fuel. Huh?
And have you ever seen a shuttle launch or something?
No, I never have.
You know, we couldn't get closer. We watched the last one in at the Cape. You couldn't get, no matter if you're media or even if you tried to run down toward it, within 3.5 miles. And Rosie, it was the most amazing thing. If listeners ever saw this, and many have, you saw the flash of light 3.5 miles away by the old countdown clock. You know, when Walter Cronkite would do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now they improved that with an LED or something. They ruined it. But the point is, you saw the flash of light, and then immediately after the sound got to you, you heard this incredible roar. I couldn't even look at the rocket motors. They were that bright, and it went through the cloud deck faster than you could imagine. This, what Elon Musk is doing, and Jeff Bezos with his Blue Origin, I'm just saying, this is amazing stuff that's happening here. It's totally incredible.
Gosh. And then, so we're sending these up and out, losing one or two. And then we've got the asteroids coming in.
Well, we have a lot of stuff.
What happened in Detroit caused an earthquake? What's that about?
Last week, we had something that happened here. Over Detroit, an incredible flaming object was seen by people driving in a snowstorm. Some people thought that they had heard thunder, snow thunder, or thunder, whatever they call that, during a snowstorm. No, it was this bright object. We call it in astronomy a bolide. A bolide is a fireball that explodes, but it's as bright as minus 14. The full moon is negative 12 in brilliance on a magnitude scale. So a bolide has to be minus 14 and up. A super bolide has to be minus 17. But here's the bottom line. Somewhere over New Haven, Michigan, north of Detroit, and also a place called Hamburg Township, I think there's a strewn field. What's that? They're saying there's debris out there. So, folks, if you got friends in Michigan and they live near the Detroit area, if you see in the snow anything that has burnt crust on the rocks and is not touched by footprints, I'd pick it up.
Have they discovered any of debris from the asteroid that kind of come in from Flagstaff towards Safford?
They sure did.
Have they found some?
Yes, they have. And this is an amazing story. Very quickly, apparently they got permission, ASU, from the tribal land, the tribal folks, and they actually did find. That's amazing. How do you find something like a needle in a haystack?
How do you? Fantastic. Fantastic information. A visit with Dr. Sky is always a mind-blowing experience. Y'all stick with us. We're going to be back and wrap this up in just a minute. I want to talk to y'all as well about something that, right, quite frankly, now may seem really, really boring. It's an Arizona staycation. Right here.